This and other podcasts are available on the Gun Rights Radio Network, gunrightsradio.com. Podcasting freedom.
I'm hiding in Honduras. I'm a desperate man. Send lawyers, guns, and money. This shit has hit the fan.
Hi folks, Bob Main here with another episode of your weekly Handgun World podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Welcome to episode number 254. Let me start by saying thank you for allowing me to take a little bit of a break. Many of you were patient. I got a few emails from some of you saying that you missed the show. That's flattering. I appreciate that. You know, this is a milestone, I guess, for my show because I recently went over 2 million downloads. So that's right. The Handgun World podcast has been downloaded over 2 million times. About 1.6 million of those are unique downloads. In other words, people downloading those for the first time. Wow. I would have never thought this would have happened, folks. And so I'm quite humbled that you continue to listen and you continue to support the show. Thank you very much. And as I've always said, as long as you continue to listen and support it, I will continue to do my everyday guy approach to handguns and training and competition shooting and just overall being prepared in your self-defense needs. Well, for this episode, I had a chance to do another really good interview with Gary Slider, one of the owners of the website handgunlaw.us. I've talked about that website many times. How many of you are going to go somewhere, you're traveling, and you want to be prepared, and you take your self-defense seriously, and your Second Amendment rights seriously, but you don't know what the laws are in the other state? How many of you have ever felt yourself in that position and maybe a little unsure about what the laws are in that state? Well, handgunlaw.us is an excellent resource for that. And Gary actually found me. He found out that I had been talking about his website on my show, and he emailed me, and he said he would like to be a guest on the show. And that's great, because I've used his site many times, and it's quite accurate and quite helpful in a lot of different ways. In this interview coming up, Gary and I are going to talk about the different ways that his website, handgunlaw.us, there'll be a link in the show notes. We'll talk about how useful it is and how he's been able to develop it over time. So, let's get right into it. Gary Slider from handgunlaw.us. Well, I got a special guest for this show. Gary Slider, the owner of the website handgunlaw.us. Gary, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad you're on. So, I wanted to let everybody know your site is a resource I've used for quite some time. It's been a few years I've been using your site, and I've talked about it more than once on the show. And I think it's just a great collection of concealed carry laws around the country. So thanks for putting it together.
Oh, you're welcome. I've been doing this for just about 19 years now.
Wow.
Handgun Law hasn't been online that long. This all started back in 1995, early 95. There was a man named Mike Golly in Hawaii who had a one-page and was collecting laws on the different states for firearm laws. And I started giving him information, and packing.org, forget his name now, he said he could turn it into a database, so that morphed into packing.org, and I was their driving force for years. And then I left there, and then Steve Akins browbeat me into starting up handgunlaw.us, and so we've been online now for just about 8 years now. It'll be 8 years in February.
Well, I used to use packing.org a lot, so you used to be involved with that.
I was the guy that did most of the work on that site. From the day it was formed till. But that's the thing. In those 19 years, I've answered a lot of questions. I've got a lot of questions, and what people are looking for, and on packing.org, on the state, handgunlaw.us on the state pages, that's what I try to put. The questions people ask all the time, try to answer those questions. There's no way you can answer them all.
Now, packing, yeah, no, there's not. Now, packing.org is not operational anymore, is it?
No, it hasn't been for years now.
Okay, yeah.
But that's, and I think that's the heart of the site. Plus, I do things that other sites don't do is I usually put the laws in there, and I give them where to find it in the law so they can go look themselves, because I've said it hundreds of times, don't believe anything you read on the Internet. Confirm what you read. You're the one that's going to pay the price if somebody's wrong. And anybody can make an error. I have made errors in the past. I try to keep as exact and up-to-date as possible, but anybody can make a mistake. And so it's you need to confirm, and that's why I kind of put the law there, links to the state statutes and the administrative rules, so people can double-check links to state sites and everything. And this is what the other people, a lot of the other sites, don't have.
Yeah, well, you know, and I have some questions about that, but before we get into those questions, one I got to ask right now. So why did you start doing this? You know, you told me.
Well, actually.
Yeah, tell us.
I think 1993, I went to LFI-1, which is Mossad Youth. He calls it MAG-40 now. Back
awesome.
Then they called it Lethal Force Institute. And when I took that class down in Virginia, Mass says, and I got to paraphrase here because I can't remember his exact words. He says, know the law better than the people you're dealing with.
Exactly.
So when I come home, I had just bought my first computer, a 486, you know, and I started looking. And that's when I found Mr. Golly over in Hawaii, so I started there. And then I morphed into packing.org, and I've just always enjoyed doing this. it's just something I like to do. And I learn a lot. I learn more than anybody else because I look and I find, and it's amazing the laws out there and how messed up they can be in some instances.
Yeah, well, and I want to ask you about that, but I want you to know, and I think a lot of listeners know this too, I've been to MAG 40 twice, so Mass is awesome, and a lot of listeners who listen to this show have been to Mass's courses, and they're a graduate of Mass's courses, and I'm just so glad that you're doing this. And you just made a statement I wanted to talk about, and that you said a lot of laws are screwed up. Boy, aren't they?
Well, the problem of it is, it's not only the law, but then court cases decide a lot of laws. Attorney General's opinion has an effect on the laws, and then the way the law's interpreted when a law was passed. Just like I'll use Obamacare here for an existence. They passed the Obamacare law. Well, they're writing a bunch of regulations to how they're going to implement the law. And it's going to be a lot longer than the actual wording in the law. And Texas did it. Most states do it. They have administrative rules on how they're going to implement the concealed carry laws in their state. And what those say and what the law says can have some conflicts. A state I like to use in particular is Maine. They're a state that will only honor resident permits from the state they honor. There's six states that way. The other five specifically states in their laws passed, we will only honor resident permits. Maine's doesn't say that. They put that in the administrative rules. So just because you read the law doesn't mean that's the law. You got to also know what the administrative rules say because they can move things around.
Oh, that's interesting. So explain that again about Maine.
Yeah. And then you got Louisiana. I have on the Louisiana page it. You can't carry in a restaurant that serves alcohol. But there's a law in Louisiana that states you can carry in a restaurant that has a Class R license and they can sell liquor. But there's also another law that says you can't carry anywhere where they serve alcohol for consumption on the premises. They got two different laws which are in conflict. They know this, and one of them should be struck from the books. But this has been going on for 4 years now, and they're still both on the books.
Well,
and
you know, you can read
Louisiana firearms, you tell me, you're not allowed to carry in a place that serves alcohol.
You know, there's an endless amount of laws that are in conflict with each other, both federal,
right.
Federal, state, city, county, or whatever. There's
absolutely, and it makes it very difficult. And that's why you have to verify. You have to verify everything you read on the internet because I've seen a lot of false information posted out there, especially on chat forums. Holy mackerel! There's just a lot of incorrect information posted. And,
you mean, Gary, you mean everything on the internet's not true?
Well, there's a lot of it that, I can't even say a lot of it. They're just, you got to remember, a lot of it is opinion.
Yeah, well, I misworded what I just said. I just said everything on the internet's not true. That's not correct. Some things on the internet are true, like a lot of the info on your site. But what I meant to say is you cannot believe everything. And, you know, I like it when you say that. Here's something I want you to address. When did you say you started doing this, in 95?
About 95, yeah.
Okay. If someone goes to your front page, handgunlaw.us, because I'm looking at it right now, what's amazing to me is look at the number of states on the U.S. map that are in blue that are shall issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's enormous. There's an enormous amount of shall issue states. When you started doing this, how many states were shall issue?
Oh, probably 15.
15. Now, as I look at this map, it looks like about 38 to 40.
Now, those maps in yellow are shall issue too.
Oh, that's right.
The states in yellow.
The yellow. Okay, so really, we've only got a handful of states. Looks like about five or six that are not shall issue. And you said there was only about 15 when you started.
Right. I mean, I'm amazed. If you would have told me 10 years ago that I could legally carry a handgun in 40 states now, I would have laughed at you.
Yeah.
And I can carry a gun in 40 states legally. I can see your hand.
Yep, so can I. So what do you suggest that one of my listeners do when they research a state's laws, for example, and the laws are in conflict? What do you suggest?
Everybody says call the Attorney General. The Attorney General doesn't have to give you an answer. You can go to their websites. Their frequently asked questions all the time will give you an answer. Again, you've got to confirm it, too. And that's another problem. That's why on each state's page, up the top, one to the right, is links. And that's usually links to state sites in that state that give information.
Yeah.
Now, not all of them, but most of them are. And there's always a link to the statutes. They can look up the law themselves. There's a link to the administrative rules, a link to the Attorney General, a link to their application, everything. Everything that possible I can put in there is in there. At least to get them to know where to go. They're a concealed carry site for that state. Their main page were, and that's all in there. And the state page is a place. Look, the problem I see with people today is we're getting down to our little phones now, and nobody wants to read. They want the answer right in front of them right now.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
They don't want to do so much research. They want to know right now.
Right. They want to push something in there, and they want the answer right in front of them right now. That's just the way society's going. I'm not saying people great, but that's just the way it's going, because technology is pushing everything so far that everybody thinks everything's right to hand. You know, you say your phone, Google, what's the population of West Virginia, and it tells you. You know,
yeah.
So it's the technology is driving this, and people don't read as much. And this is something you just can't get the answer right in front of you very easily.
Right. Well, and you're right, it takes a great deal of research, and it's not something that's just going to be always instantly available to you.
Mm-hmm. And it's always changing. That's another problem here at all. Here in the last year, things have changed so much in a lot of states. And one of the biggest problems is not when a state honors another state, which, by the way, West Virginia and New Hampshire just signed a reciprocity agreement. They now honor each other.
Mm-hmm.
That was just posted yesterday. On the New Hampshire side, I live in West Virginia. I get to talk to that guy all the time down there in Capitol who takes care of this. And so, you know, West Virginia, New Hampshire now. But the problem of it is, Nevada didn't make a public announcement. They just posted on their website. They dropped Missouri and Delaware.
They did.
They did that back. You know, Pennsylvania dropped Idaho. Virginia dropped Missouri. They were honoring. Now they're not. And that's a big problem, because those things changed. From one day to the next, your permit was valid there before. Now it's not.
How do you keep up with that and put that on your site?
Well, I do. I put in way too much time on, for one thing. But I enjoy doing this. My computer's always on. I do a lot of remodeling for my kids. I'm retired, but I'm always in and out a lot. No, we just stop by the computer and see it. But this is where I love Firefox. I have an add-on, and two or three times a day, I just make one click, and it scans about 150 websites out there that I have bookmarked, and it tells me if there have been any changes on that website, and it highlights them when I go to it.
Oh, good.
Which makes my job a whole lot easier now.
That's
and,
cool.
I do that every day. Like I say, there's a dozen or 15 gun boards I check out every day, search to see if handgun law gets mentioned, look down the list of new titles posted, see if there's anything about laws. I'll read that. I learn things. I learned something just today. Just before you this started, I found out that there was a little piece of the Mississippi law on emergencies that a municipality can actually stop you from carrying your firearm. You can only keep it in your home, at your work, or traveling back and forth between them two during a declared emergency, like a tornado or a riot or something. And I didn't have that on the Mississippi page, and that will be added tomorrow night.
Oh, wow.
So I just found, and I had part of the other law in there from Mississippi, their emergency laws, but I didn't have that part. And I didn't know that, but I saw that because I saw a post on a board, read it, and so that's just part of my research. And it just takes time to do that, but I enjoy doing it. I learn a lot.
That's, wow. So, and what's interesting is you do this, and you told me before we started, is you've got this site put together, and you don't do this for money. You just do this kind of a labor of love, don't you?
Well, see, that's what, whenever I left Packing.org, for personal reasons, Steve Akins was there at Packing.org, too. And about 6 months after I left there, he gave me a call and asked me to start another website. And I said, no way. Anyway, he kept calling me and emailing me, and I finally said, oh, he showed me some things. I said, okay, I'll do it for you. We'll do it. So, and I do the research part. He makes sure it stays online, does all that stuff, and takes care of my computer and makes sure that I got everything I need to work with. And but when we set up the site, there's a few things we decided right up front. The first one was no ads. We decided that right up front, no ads.
Good.
Because the site looks a lot cleaner with no ads, and we weren't after this to make money. No chat form. They're too hard to patrol, and people, it doesn't matter when you can post anonymously, people always get out of hand.
Isn't that the truth?
And we would try to stick mainly with concealed carry. Although I have added an open carry section, which is very short on each state page. Give people just a little bit of synopsis, and I give them places to go elsewhere to find out more information.
Yeah.
Because I kept getting asked that question every day.
What question were you getting asked? What question were you getting asked?
Oh, I get asked a question every day. I was getting asked about open carry. Is open carry legal?
Yeah.
And I didn't have open carry on there, so I put a little section on each state's page, giving a little rundown on open carry. But I mainly told them, gave them other sites to go to, other place to go to find out more about open carry.
Okay.
And see, because I have a list on there's so much information on the website, and the state pages don't have it all. In the left column on the site, the first one, who's on or my permit, that tells you, gives you a listing breakdown.
You know, that's the, Gary, I got to tell you, that's the most used link that I use on your website.
Mm-hmm. And that, okay, you know where that, there's a create a license map. But the problem with our create a license map, like I say, we don't have any money. And that's just a little overlay map. And we can't show on there the quirks and all, and reciprocity. So when you click on create a license map, the first thing you read is a legal size paper document that gives you all the quirks and reciprocity, and there are a bunch of them,
mm-hmm.
which the map can't show. I was actually offered a map that would do all that, an application to do all that.
Yeah.
$100. And
how much?
The $1,800.
Ouch.
That was just a license to buy it outright was $6,000. And the reason I know that is another website has this map, and a server built it for them for nothing, and then that website left their server and went to another server because they gave it to him, they could keep it, and he offered it to me trying to get his money back.
Yeah, not good.
So, but then we have up there, there's RV car carrier, because I put that over there. That just gives the RV car carrier from every state page in one place,
mm-hmm.
people traveling. And try to tell you how you can carry in your car without a permit, what it mainly does. There's non-resident permits. I tell you how to apply for all the non-resident permits all around the country. The site frequently asked questions, there's a lot of good answers in there to some things. It tells you where to go find things if you need to find anything. The gun safety data, the guy's name's on there from, and I actually just contacted him and said, yeah, go ahead and use it. But the right to keep and state, keep and bear arms state organizations list, that's really an important one. That's where most people have to go. Get to your state, really good ones out there, and they're doing tremendous work. It's a state org that's been behind most of this to get concealed carry in all these states in the last 10, 15 years.
That's right.
The NRA and the GOA and SAF, all of them, they're doing great at the national level. They're doing things at the state level, too. But it's those local people pushing their own representatives in their state legislature that's getting it done.
Well, yeah. And, you know, gun rights is a political issue, and the old saying that all politics is local, that's true. So, you know, I mean, a lot of people seem to be focused on the NRA and the Second Amendment Foundation, and they're both great foundations, and I've recommended both of them, and I'm a member of both, and I'm a lifetime member of the Second Amendment Foundation, and I renew my NRA membership every year, and I'm a big believer in those, but you're right. The state, I'm glad you got this link on here, the state organizations, because those are huge. Those are the ones that, you know, fight the good fight locally, and, you know, those are the ones that are more likely to get, you know, open carry passed, for example.
Right, absolutely. And again, I'm not bashing any of this. I'm an NRA instructor. You know, these people are doing tremendous work too, but when it comes to the carry laws in your state and where you're allowed to carry this and that, it's a state orders that are a big driving force in keeping some of this stuff from getting passed. And if you're not a member, I highly recommend you join. And that's one thing people notice about handgunlaw.us, too, is there's very few politics on it.
Good.
You find any politics on it, it just says we are firm believers in the Second Amendment on the front page. Would be on our notices page. I might post a few things, but we really stay pretty neutral on the site. And it's not because we're firm believers in the Second Amendment, but all it does is create more controversy and people screaming. All we're there for is to give information, and that's what we're doing.
It's a divisive subject, you know.
Right, it is. It is. And I'm amazed at some of the newspapers and media that call me, want to talk to me about certain things. And usually it happens around Newtown, things like that. And I think one of the reasons they call me is because they see the site and they see it's very well neutral, just giving information. And so, but again, it just causes more problems. And again, we're an information site. We're not a political site. We're an information site.
Well, and you're a very good information site. It's excellent. So we've talked about this a couple times now. Handgunlaw.us is the website. I have a pretty good active group of listeners that are very supportive. They've supported me and they've supported the Gun Rights Radio Network and some of the other podcasts on the network. I know that there are some of them that are going to want to support you. How can they do that?
Well, there's actually we didn't even take donations until early this year, and it was right after Newtown. We started getting hammered with hits. I mean, our hits went sky high.
I'm sure they did.
And we started running out of bandwidth. And the next step up was very costly. Our cost about doubled. And so Steve and I decided, okay, we would start asking for donations. And we get about enough donations to pay what it went up for us. But again, when we started the site, we said we started to didn't want to ask for donations. And if our cost hadn't doubled there at the beginning of the year, we probably still would not be. Well, I know we wouldn't be asking for any donations. And if people want to send one, thank you very much. Some people have. It's very much appreciated. It helps us keep it there. But Steve and I will keep it there. But any help that anybody can give us will be greatly appreciated.
Good. Is there a link on your site to do that?
Yes. If you look right at the top of the page there, in the white area, it says Want to Help WW Handgun Law.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, very first link.
Click that, and it'll take you to it. And it tells you what's going on there.
Oh, I just tested it out. I see what's going on. Okay, good.
Yeah,
good.
That's where it's at.
Well,
like I say, that just went up there sometime around the first of the year, January, I think it was, maybe in February, because we started exceeding our bandwidth the whole time because we just had too many people trying to get on. I mean, our hits went sky high. And well, it was all because people were reading a lot about it. People were interested in it because of what happened in Newtown and everything else.
I can completely understand. I've been through it in the 4 years that I've been doing this. I've been through the bandwidth and the expense issues. And you put your time into it, too. So I tell you what I'm going to do for you, Gary, because you've been so generous with your time and you've been so helpful. Ben and I have a I'm trying to think of what to call it. We've got the Shooters Club podcast. We have a member group. And we have a member group of people that support us in what we do. So what I'm going to do between now and the end of this year and the end of 2013, every new member that signs up, we're going to send you a small donation.
Well, that'd be great. Thank you very much. That is much appreciated, sir.
Well, you're welcome, because I believe in what you're doing. So I want all listeners to know that if you sign up for our Shooters Club podcast, you're going to support two people. You're going to support, well, three people, Ben and I, and you're going to support Gary to keep handgunlaw.us operational for a
long time. I don't want to leave Steve out of this. Steve Akins in New Mexico.
Steve and Akins.
Here's a funny story, too.
Yeah, go ahead.
Steve and I started this site, and we didn't meet till October. We didn't meet face-to-face till 2 years ago.
Is that right? Very cool.
We never met face-to-face, and I actually went out there mainly for that purpose, and while I was there, I saw the New Mexico State IDPA shoot was on, so I said, I'll just go shoot it and visit Steve. So I did that. That's the only time we've ever met. We talk a lot via phone and via the internet, and we've only met face-to-face one time.
Yeah, because you're in West Virginia and he's in New Mexico.
He's in New Mexico. And Steve is he's big in the politics in New Mexico. He does a lot of lobbying for the right to keep and bear arms out there with the state legislature. And he does a lot of things like that. And, but the thing about handgunlaw.us is you got to explore the site. There's a tremendous amount of information on there.
Yeah.
And you just got to look around the site. Up the top, at the very top, there are seven global links, and each one of them, you put your mouse over, it'll open up seven more links to information on the subject that's listed there.
I see that. I see that.
Where to go.
You know what I really like? I want to point this out. I really like the RV car carry link.
Oh, yes. And the reason that is there is because that's what people ask for. They want to know if they can carry in their car. It's amazing how many people want to know, can I put one in the glove compartment? And so that's why that document, and all that is, that's just the RV car carry section from every state's page in one place.
Yeah, that, and see, I'm glad you've aggregated it like that and put them all together. Now, I want to put this disclaimer out there. Gary and Steve do a pretty good job with this, but like Gary said earlier in this conversation, you need to just double check and confirm, because I think it's probably from your standpoint, 100% impossible to keep up all the time with everything.
And again, a change that happens like Nevada. And here's another strange thing about Nevada dropping Missouri and Delaware. Their Sheriff Association meets every February, supposed to decide who they're going to honor. They don't care who honors them. They just say, this state will honor. Well, they made it effective the first day of July that they wouldn't honor Missouri or Delaware, but they didn't post it on their site till the last day of July.
Imagine that.
So, and this is the kind of things that can happen. And so that's why you have to check before you make every trip, and things change, and there's other websites out there that give information. I believe we're the best. I believe we're the most up to date. But are we 100% correct? I surely hope we are. I'm a human being. I make errors. Every one of us do.
Well,
we all made mistakes, and so that's why you have to. I don't want to be responsible for somebody getting arrested and losing a right to carry because of something I wrote down.
I'm 100% with you on that. Something I want to key in on earlier, what you said. You mean governments are sometimes inefficient?
Oh, well, here's another dandy. You know, Nevada dropped Missouri.
Yeah.
For just about 3 weeks, Missouri still carried on the Missouri webpage, on the state webpage for firearms, that Nevada still honored them.
Because somebody wouldn't...
I contacted them and they took it off. And, you know, strange things happen. Well, talking about that too is I know the state of Arkansas, and I forget which one of the Dakotas it was. This has been a few years back. They actually listed Massachusetts as a state that honored their permit.
Wow. No.
And I contacted, it took me 6 months to get Arkansas to drop it. It took me 15 minutes to get one of the, I forget which Dakota it was. It was North. I called them in 15 minutes. It was gone.
Really?
Some states are very, it's great.
Yeah.
Florida's great. I have a good relationship with people in Colorado and some of the other states. West Virginia, I talk to this guy anytime I want to talk to him down there. He talks to me, and we fill each other in. That was just like New Hampshire. They signed with New Hampshire. It was 3 weeks ago. I called him and said, hey, how come you haven't been talking to New Hampshire? He said, oh, I don't know why. We'll find out. They signed an agreement three weeks later.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know if it was me or not.
Well, I'm sure you had a...
It doesn't hurt to talk to him.
It doesn't hurt to talk to him. You never know. Sometimes mm-hmm. you might talk to the right person and something mm-hmm. happens. Gary, I wanted you to address something else. I'm looking at this national map that's on your front page here.
Uh-huh.
What's really good is you've got in red the places that completely deny the right to carry, and it's good to see only one in red, and that's Washington, D.C.
Well, the thing of it is, when the Heller decision came out, when the day it was announced, Washington, D.C. had concealed carry. They had a law that you could apply for a permit and get one. Very few people got one.
Yeah.
Once the Heller decision came out, they struck that from their laws.
I didn't know that.
And the reason I believe they did was because they knew they was going to get a lawsuit about issuing permits. So they just took permits completely out of their law.
Okay. So nice of them to deny citizens of D.C. their Second Amendment rights.
Right. And the thing of it is, I haven't been to D.C. since the early 80s. I'd love to go back. It's a wonderful place, the museums. And if you've never been to Arlington, if you've never been to the Vietnam Memorial, I'll tell you, it'll bring tears to your eyes.
Yeah, I was just in...
I'd love to go back, but I won't go back for that reason. I won't go to Washington, D.C. I won't even go. I've been all over the country except up in New England, and I won't go to New England because New York State blocks my way. And I've let everybody in New England know that. I won't spend my money in your state for that reason. And
good.
In New York. And I'd like to warn everybody out there right now. Do not take a firearm into New Jersey, New York, or Massachusetts unless you have a permit from that state.
Yep.
You're going to be nothing but be in a lot of trouble. Washington, D.C. is the same way. Those four areas, don't even go there. Now, Maryland's got some restrictive laws, but as long as it's packaged up and secured in the trunk, you're fine. That doesn't help you in New Jersey. That won't help you in New York a lot of times, and that won't help you in Massachusetts a lot of times either.
Yeah, and I want to warn people that if you're flying through those states as well, that's a big issue.
You try to get on an airplane in New York with a handgun, even declare it, you're going to jail. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
New Jersey's about the same way. They're just bad states, and the laws are so difficult to understand too, and it's a shame. California is actually an easier state. At least you can have it secured in your trunk or in a lockbox in your vehicle. You're fine in California as long as it's a legal firearm.
Right.
You know they got bans on magazines and stuff you have to go buy. And now in New York you can only have 7 rounds loaded in a magazine, even if you have a permit up there. That's the only way you can carry it. You know, it's really difficult. And it makes it really... And other states have magazine bans, too. Colorado and some other states have magazine bans. But that's the problem. They're changing every day, and it's something small that can get you in trouble. The biggest one in D.C., and I figure a lot of people out there have heard this, if you have any part of a cartridge, that means if you have an empty brass, a primer, a bullet, that's just the lead part that comes out the barrel, separate from a case, powder, even shot in your vehicle that's not secured in the trunk or somewhere, they can be in jail.
Wow. Well, I guess I'm just thankful I live in a free state.
That's exactly right. and this is another reason I try to do this, is because I enjoy what I do. I enjoy doing this. I mean, it's just something I like to do. Other people got hobbies. I like to shoot, too. But I just enjoy doing this because I know it's needed. As I've put, in Ohio and West Virginia, I've put probably 1,800 people through the NRA class to get a concealed carry permit in both states. This information is definitely needed. And because, you know, the one thing I found out, the good guys want to know what the law is so they can stay within the law.
Isn't that amazing?
The bad guys don't care. But it's amazing the amount of people out there saying, you know, I get to this border, I take my gun off and put it in the trunk because I'm not allowed to carry it there. I don't see any criminal doing that. He's going to keep it right there.
Wow. You know what? Just in case there might happen to be an anti-gun person listening to this, I don't think there are, but just in case, repeat that one more time.
That it's the good guys. They want to know the law so they can stay within the law. And that's the reason I have the site, because how can you stay within the law if you don't know the law? And so we try to give them at least as best an understanding of it as we can, because the good people want to stay within the law. That's 99.9% of what I hear from the good people in this country.
Yeah, well, exactly. And everybody knows, and even many of the anti-gun people know the simple facts. They know the simple facts that, you know, the 99%, 99.5% of people that carry a gun are the good guys, because otherwise they wouldn't have a permit to carry the gun, and they're not the ones committing the crimes out there. But, you know, when something happens, the anti-gunners sure like to gin up a bunch of unnecessary negative emotions.
Oh, yes. I just found out here that, you know, the left thinks I'm a terrorist and I'm going to shoot everybody in the world, and my gun's going to jump out of my holster and shoot a lot of people. I've been carrying a firearm now I've been carrying a firearm since the West Virginia said I could carry a firearm, which was 1989.
Yeah.
My handgun has been within shooting distance, and I'm talking 30 feet, of hundreds of thousands of people, a lot of them kids. And it's never hurt anybody yet. I hope it never does. Has to.
Amen to that. What are you carrying these days?
Well, this time of year, I carry a Kimber compact commander size CDP.
Yep.
I also carry a little Smith & Wesson 442 in my left front pocket. I usually carry two. So everybody says you're really paranoid if you carry two.
Yeah, you're really way out there, right?
I carry a little revolver. I can hand it to my wife if I have to. I can hand it to another good guy. There's also a backup to my camera. Now, in the summertime, I usually carry a little Smith & Wesson 3914. The problem of it is I have to shoot small handguns. The 1911s have a short trigger reach. The 3914 has a short trigger reach. I'm missing, if you take a look at your trigger finger,
yeah,
and you look at that knuckle in the back of your fingernail,
mm-hmm.
My trigger finger is missing right between that.
Oh, okay.
So I have to shoot small guns because I have to reach the trigger. I love Glocks. I've had Glocks, and I still got a Glock, but I won't carry it because I've shot IDPA and drawn it out of the holster. And I will miss the safety stirrup in the middle of the trigger, and it won't go back. And that would be a bad thing to happen if I had to use it.
Very interesting. I just recently did a show on safeties, and I talked about that Glock trigger safety that's on there, and I didn't think about what you just said. That's definitely, if someone is in a physically challenged situation like mm-hmm. you, then that's not going to work.
Right. You still there?
Yeah, I'm still there. That's very good.
Okay.
That's.
But that's the problem when you get the, because I even had a Model 23 Glock that I sent to Robar, had the grip cut down on, and it didn't work either. It still was just too long to reach for me. So I had to shoot, and 1911s have a short trigger reach, and I had a short trigger put in it, had a shorter trigger put in it, I'll say.
Good.
And so it made it a whole lot better. And but I do like my little Smith & Wesson 3914. I've had 25,000 rounds through it.
Nice.
Years ago, a little piece of the slide broke out. Not the slide, but the frame, right where the slide stock goes through.
Right.
And I sent it back to Smith & Wesson. They fixed it and gave me a brand new frame for nothing.
Wow, nice. That's good customer service.
I bought it brand new, and they fixed it for me.
Speaking of Smith & Wesson, what about your 442? Can you reach the trigger on that?
Yes. I don't have any trouble with the little revolver because I do have a high grip on it.
Okay.
I can get a high grip. And that's what's nice about having a concealed hammer. You don't have to worry about getting too high a grip and blocking the hammer.
Yep.
And so that's another reason I like the 442, is because it's got the concealed hammer on it. And I can get a real high grip, which puts me a little closer to the trigger, and I don't have any problems with it.
So that gun's been near lots of people, and it's never jumped out of the holster on itself and hurt anybody.
I keep waiting for it, but it doesn't do that.
No. As a matter of fact, I bet you keep waiting for them to fire on their own while they're in the safe, and they don't do that either, do they?
Well, the thing of it is, if I'd known this, what they said, when I got drafted back in 1970, I said, well, you don't need me. Just send that gun into battle. It'll take care of everything. You don't need somebody behind it.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one, Gary. Well,
why do you need me behind if the guns do all the killing?
Oh, I couldn't have said it better myself.
But back to the website, I ask people, you know, check it out. There's a wealth of information on there. And like I say, the best thing to do, if I recommend anything to anybody, when you open up the site, there it says U.S. State Pages on the right. There's a short paragraph there. Read it. That tells you how to do everything on the site, how to get to the state pages. In the left column, the frequently asked questions is a good one to start with. It tells you where to go to find different things on the site. And then there's a lot of other links on there to interesting things that people might want to check out. That is up to them. But across the top is all kinds of law links, travel links. It gives, you know, if you're going to go Amtrak or Greyhound or fly into the major airlines, it gives you the baggage, how to fly. And flying with a handgun is simple. It didn't change after 9/11.
No, it didn't change, and it's very simple. I'm looking at your frequently asked questions right now. It's 8 pages long. This is awesome.
Yeah. Well, I keep adding to it because I keep getting the same questions. Commercial truck drivers keep saying, you can't carry in your commercial vehicle. Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
There's no federal law against carrying a defensive firearm in your commercial vehicle.
No, but there are
state you're in.
But there are employers that will try to forbid their truckers from carrying.
Well, the thing of it, there's a federal law that says you can't because it takes them off the hook.
Yeah, they're they're completely BSing them.
Yes.
That's not true.
Absolutely. But the frequently asked questions is a good place, and I finally got down to where you can just click on the question and it takes you to it now. It's easy to get around on there. And then at the bottom of every page, you can click and go right back to the top contents page. But there are just a lot of little things in there that will answer a lot of questions. Can I carry concealed on military installations? You know, can I fly with my firearm with me? Can I carry in a national forest? Can I carry in a state park? That information is on every state page. I'm carrying the state parks. Because I put that on there in its own little section because people ask me, can I carry in a state park? Can I carry? And so that I put in there that they could because I get asked that question a lot. And that's how the site developed over the years was because people kept asking these questions because they wanted to know where they could carry. One of the last things other than the open carry I added on there was, can you carry your defensive firearm when you're hunting? A lot of people ask me that question. And so we answered that question for them, too.
Yeah, I'm looking at my Texas state page right now. There's only 14 states that don't accept my Texas permit, and they're the obvious ones, you know.
There might be more than 14. Okay, you're looking at the map.
I'm looking at the map, yeah.
Well, see, because Texas did something that a lot of other states wouldn't do. You know, Texas honors California and Massachusetts and New York.
Yep.
States that don't honor any other states from it. That was a unilateral decision by the governor of Texas, which was very good. It took a long, but they wouldn't do it for West Virginia because West Virginia had reciprocity. It was a couple, 3 years before we finally signed an agreement with them. There's a couple other states that have reciprocity in law that Texas won't unilaterally honor because if that state won't honor them, they won't honor them. But like I say, New York doesn't have reciprocity. And all those states that don't have reciprocity, Texas honors them.
Yeah, and then, of course...
Which is really nice.
I
see a lot of other states do that.
I know, and I just clicked on Utah, and my Utah permit gives me one more state, which is Washington. So that's nice. And then there are a lot of people that have a Florida non-resident, and Florida helps you out, too, so... You know, I'm a big believer in as many rights as you can possess, the better off you are.
But I highly recommend everybody click on the create a map, not to build a map as much as to read that notice page that comes up. And that tells you all the quirks and how states honor each other. You know, and there is a bunch of... Texas only honor the permit issued by the Delaware Attorney General. bought the one issued by the local authorities, and they're both the exact same permit. And they're both good statewide in Delaware, but the attorneys, but the agreement states that they will only honor the one issued by the Attorney General in Delaware.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of quirks there are in reciprocity. Wisconsin will only issue, honor West Virginia permits issued after July of last year or something like that. Same with Alaska. And then the Dandy, they will only honor Virginia's non-resident permit. They won't honor their resident permit. And so you can see there's just a lot of quirks in there. And these are the things that make it difficult,
yeah,
especially for people. And it's easy to make a mistake. And then for those people that don't, says, hey, Wisconsin honors my Virginia permit. If it's a resident permit, they won't. If it's a non-resident permit, they will. I try to get that out there as plain as I can. And that's why the main stage map has those six yellow states. Those are shall issue states. But those six states will only honor permits issued to residents of the states they honor. They will not honor a non-resident permit. Now, they'll honor their own non-resident permit. Florida honors their own non-resident permit. But they won't honor any other permit that's not a resident of that state that they honor.
See, and this is... And keeping track of all this is hard, and this is why I'm so glad that you have your site put together, and I'm so glad that you and Steve put the work in to doing this, because it's a huge service. I want you to know that, and we appreciate you very much. And like I said, I'm going to do my level best to give you plenty of assistance, both in advertising and in money to keep you going, because this is good stuff. I want to urge everybody, trust but verify, and check out handgunlaw.us. It's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And we do have a good reputation. We do have a good reputation. Whenever anybody does out there says, now, it's usually, hey, it's a website. Verify it. And I agree with them.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Gary, thank you very much. Pass on my thanks to Steve as well for helping you put together such a good site. I appreciate you coming on the show.
No, you're welcome, sir. Anytime. And I'm retired. I love retirement. And any of them listeners out there, if they have a question, all they have to do is click on Contact Me at the bottom of the main page at handgunlaw.us. I answer every one of those emails. Do put something interesting in the subject line that jump out at me, because I get a lot of spam.
Well, yeah.
But I answer every email. I usually try to answer most of them within a few hours. Sometimes I'm away from home. I take my computer with me, but I'm away from service for a day or two. But I will get back to you.
And that's good. I appreciate that. I'm very much the same way. Well, Gary, thank you very much for coming on and talking about handgunlaw.us.
You're welcome, sir. Thank you.
Safe shooting, okay?
Okay. You too, sir.
Bye. Many thanks to Gary. Gary, thank you for your time. I appreciate that. Anybody who interviews on this show donates their time. They donate it willingly and freely, and I very much appreciate everybody who's willing to be a guest on this podcast, because it helps keep this show educational and relevant for you. Go to his site. Use it. Handgunlaw.us. I've been using it for a long time. Gary, that was a great interview. Thank you very much. I've actually got some more questions that I've been making notes of, so I might be inviting Gary to come back and do a part two. And by the way, if you have some comments, questions for Gary, I can email them over to him. That's no problem. Just send me an email, bob@handgunworld.com. If you want to voicemail me, 210-646-1727 is the voicemail number. You can go to handgunworld.com and click the Call Me button that's on my website, and it'll link up your phone with my voicemail instantly. Speaking of voicemails, folks, I've been getting a lot of voicemails. My inbox has a lot of them. First of all, thank you. I promise that next week's show will answer all of the voicemails, okay? Hopefully you can hold out for that. I know some of you have been waiting a few weeks for me to address your voicemail. I apologize. You know, I had to take a week off last week. Next week's show will be response to voicemails. Once again, that number is 210-646-1727. Now, there's still time for you to sign up for the night shooting course.
that Ben Branham and I are teaching, night fighting. We're teaching pistol fighting dynamics at night. A lot of people, well, most people practice during the broad daylight, right? I mean, that's probably how a lot of you practice, in the broad daylight. But we know that probably the majority, or if not the majority, a large percentage of self-defense uses of handguns occur in low light or in nighttime conditions. I'm driving my vehicle right now, as I often do, and guess what I'm doing? I'm driving in darkness. It's actually early in the morning and the sun hasn't come up yet, so it's dark outside. It is a lot different fighting with your handgun in the dark. A lot different, much more different than fighting with it in the daytime. It's a whole complete different set of circumstances and a whole bunch of different factors come into play. So on November 16th in San Antonio, it's worth making the trip. If some of you live within a reasonable driving distance of San Antonio, come train with Ben and I. And Ben and me. Ha, terrible grammar, huh? Anyway, come train with us on November 16th, 4:30 to 9:30, you can go to handgunworld.com and sign up for that. We're doing a two-day class, December 7th and 8th, pistol fighting dynamics and rifle fighting dynamics in the same weekend. That is a cool weekend. You can train with both your pistol and your rifle, get to know both of them. We're going to be training some team tactics during the rifle portion on Sunday. So come get brushed up on your pistol fighting skills, your team tactics. We're going to be introducing that. And that's pretty cool. Working as a team, transitioning from your rifle to your handgun. Ben's an excellent instructor on all that. So come join us for that. You do get a discount if you train with us for the entire weekend. Also, the Shooters Club. I put up two new videos this past month. And this month, the month of November, you're going to get two more videos. So you're getting pretty much two videos a month. Instructional videos, it's your way to help support the show. $75 a year, $8 a month. You get a lot in return. You get a lot of educational videos. And a lot of these videos we took at our classes. So if some of you can't travel and come to one of our classes and you want the next best thing, sign up for the Shooters Club. Just go to handgunworld.com, click the Shooters Club page. There's a link there for you to sign up. There's probably about 17 or 18 videos up there right now. I'll be putting up another audio podcast, but we're doing away, actually we've done away, with the audio-only membership. So if you were an audio member, hey, guess what? We're giving you a bonus. We're giving you the video portion for free. There was only a few of you that signed up, and because you did it early and you supported us, you're going to get the ability to have a full membership. So $75 a year, $8 a month, you help support the work that Ben and I do. Also, if you're going to make an Amazon purchase, you can also support my show without spending any extra money. If you're going to buy something on Amazon, like if you're already starting to do some holiday shopping, please go to handgunworld.com and click the Amazon link on my page. Buy your Amazon purchases through my link. Same price, but Amazon will send me back a little bit of a fee for advertising for them, and that's another way that you can support the show. Shooters Club members, by the way, are getting all kinds of cool discounts. You're getting discounts from On Your Six Designs, an awesome Kydex holster maker. You're getting discounts from Sturdy Belts. I use both. All these products I'm talking about, I use. I like On Your Six Designs. They make some excellent Kydex products. And one thing I like about their Kydex holsters, I use them for appendix carry. They're real thin. They're thin and comfortable. Very thin, small profile, and they're reasonably priced. OnYourSixDesigns.com. Check them out. Sturdy Belt. I've talked about David Scaife's company, Sturdy Belt. I've interviewed him on the show. Might get him back on here again pretty soon. I'm wearing it right now as I'm headed out to a business appointment early in the morning. And it's supporting my Glock 19 and my Concealment Solutions holster very nicely. I'm a big believer in Sturdy Belt, especially if you want a good-looking belt that's also a gun belt. He makes some decent holsters as well. Sturdy Belt is giving a discount to Shooters Club members. If you sign up for the Shooters Club, I'll send you an email, and you'll know exactly what your discounts are and how to take advantage of them. And don't forget about American Gun Oil. They're the official sponsor, one of the official sponsors of the Handgun World podcast. Thank you, Michael. And American Gun Oil, it's the only oil I use anymore for my handguns and my rifles. AmericanGunOil.com. There'll be a link in the show notes for them as well. And then don't forget about Texas Law Shield. Several weeks ago, I did a very popular interview with two people from Texas Law Shield, the founder of the company and one of the attorneys. For Handgun World listeners, they are giving away 2 months free for if you buy an annual membership to Texas Law Shield. So go to Texas Law Shield or U.S. Law Shield. If you live in one of the states that we talked about where you can take advantage of their service, go to the website. There's a coupon code. The coupon code's Handgun World. Put that in there and make sure that you request your 2 months free. Tell them you heard about it on Bob Main's Handgun World podcast. Let these people know that you're hearing about it on my show. Okay, with that said, time to wrap up. I just want to say that the average response time from 911 is 23 minutes, but the average response time from some of my 9mm self-defense loads is 1,400 feet per second. I'll take the 1,400 feet per second over 23 minutes any day of the week. Shoot straight, shoot safe. Remember, the loudest sound a shooter hears is a bang when he's expecting a click, or a click when he's expecting a bang. I'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.
This shit has hit the fan. Oh, send lawyers, guns, and money.